Thank you, Mark. And thank you for the invitation to come and join you tonight for your prayer meeting. It's been a thrill already to be with you and to pray alongside you as well. I don't know about you, but the past few months, it feels like everything that we know has been shaken. And even as we come now towards easing, and the conversation I have with people on a regular basis is, how are things going? What was that like? And usually the response is, oh, it's not the same, but it's okay. I'm sure you've had that conversation as well. What's it like going to the shop? What's it like doing this or that? Oh, it's not the same, but it's okay. And there seems to be an uneasiness at this time, particularly as we plan to start back work or school or even church. Everything feels uncertain, unsteady, and to be honest, sometimes a bit shaky. Well, tonight I just want to take comfort in the scriptures. So I want to draw your attention, as Mark has alluded to already, to the end of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, those last two verses there. The most inspiring, encouraging verses, and I think very timely verses for us as a nation and as a church. There's a lot to unpack, and I hope that you'll bear with me tonight as we do that. So if you have your Bible with you, please have it open to Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And for time, I just want to suggest three things from these two verses. And the first point I want to make is this. Therefore, let us be grateful. You see, I was always taught in Sunday school that whenever you see a therefore, you should always ask, what's it there for? If you weren't taught that in Sunday school, that's a freebie. You can have that. Whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, ask yourself, what's it there for? In this case, the writer to the Hebrews has been trying to encourage the Christians and has spent a chapter or more trying to encourage them to keep on going in the faith. As was read to us, the start of chapter 12 reads like this: since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. As we recall those great characters of faith in Scripture, and those indeed that the writer highlights in Hebrews chapter 12, the very famous Hall of Faith, with characters like Abraham and Isaac and Samson and David, and even those men and women of faith that we know that have already gone to glory. As we remember their faith and testimony, it can stir us up in our faith and encourage us to carry on as well. During the summer, I've been reading a book called How Lovely Are Their Dwelling Places. It looks at the formation of gospel halls and Pentecostal churches across Wales after the start of the revival. And as I've been reading this, you can see their love for God, their love for the gospel, and their love for the lost. It's truly amazing, these men and women of faith who went out there. They paid for land. They got buildings constructed. And in many cases, as you read the book, they started it all debt-free. The day they opened the door, they'd already paid for it all through prayer and through sacrifice. And I don't know about you, but when I read those stories, it challenges my faith. And it stirs me to action. And that is what the writer of the Hebrews wants us to do as well. As we reread those old, what we would call Sunday school stories of Abraham and Isaac and Samson and David, it's meant to stir us up. It's meant to get us going as we run the race that is marked out before us as a Christian. The rest of that chapter tells us there, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, as we struggle, as we slog, as we endure, as we press on during this new normal, let us remember that we can continue this race, not because we have a stiff upper lip and we can just carry on. No, we do it because of the grace of our loving Lord Jesus working in and through us. What does it say there in the rest of that chapter? Verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has already been where we are stepping. He already knows what it's like to be rejected by men. He already knows. That is why we can trust him. That is why we can fix our eyes on him, because he knows the path ahead. He endured the cross for my sin and for your sin. He despised the shame of men. He went to that brutal and horrible Roman cross because of us. And by his stripes, we are healed. When men and women, when boys and girls put their trust in this Jesus, lives are changed forever. You see, not only did Jesus die, but he rose again. And he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is interceding for his people. He's praying on behalf of you and I, even tonight, as we continue on in the race. This new song puts it like this. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering, I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. The chorus adds, this is the power of the cross. The Son of God slain for us. What a love. What a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. The writer in verse 3 adds this. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Friends, if you know that Jesus has transformed your life tonight, consider him who endured such hostility so that you and I may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Because of Jesus, we can carry on. This is also built up in verse 12 when he talks about the drooping hands and strengthening your weak knees. Perhaps that's exactly how you feel tonight. As you consider the future and what lays ahead, you feel weak at the knees. Take courage tonight. Your Lord Jesus is right beside you wherever you go. As you faithfully live out your life as a Christian in front of your neighbours, in front of your family, as you have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, take courage because he is with you. The writer of the Hebrews is building up this argument for the believers. Listen, Jesus has gone before you. Therefore, let us be grateful. He carries on this point in the rest of the chapter, particularly with verses 18 to 22. He talks about shaking things up again, looking at the Old Testament promises. And tonight, let us be grateful for the New Testament promise that isn't changing, that is dependable, it is reliable, and it's unchanging. In fact, the great news is that you can stake your life on it. And I know for some of us, we have done that tonight. But perhaps for those who aren't, perhaps you're listening here tonight and you haven't staked your life on this Jesus, can I encourage you tonight? You can stake your life on this Jesus. He isn't going to change. It isn't depending on who you are or what you've done. It's all on him and what he's done for you and I at the cross. Therefore, let us be grateful. But I'm sure even in these times, I noticed as the start of lockdown came into being, that suddenly things were calmer. People, neighbours were talking to each other. We went out on each Thursday night to clap for the NHS. As things eased, roads started to seem a lot calmer. People were letting each other out. Now things have suddenly started to get back to a new normal. Stop talking to our neighbours. We start clapping on a Thursday night and the roads are as chaotic as ever. We've lost what it is to be grateful. I'm sure even for us, there's things that we've forgotten. We need to be grateful. Let us remember what Jesus has done for us. Let's remember how far we've come in our journey of faith. And let us be grateful for what Jesus has already done, and knowing and remembering what he will continue to do for us. The second thing I want to suggest to you is this, is that we need to remember that there's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The rest of that verse in 28 reads like this: therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Thank God that his kingdom is built on firm foundations. It's not built on a shaky if you perform well enough, if you speak to enough people, fingers crossed if you play your cards right. No, it's built on the firm foundation of Jesus' death and resurrection for you and for me. I love this quote from Connie Ten Boom, who put it like this: when you look around, you will be distressed. When you look within, you will be depressed. When you look at him, you will be at rest. And it's true, isn't it? As we look at the world around us and we try to work out this new way forward, we get distressed. Oftentimes we bottle it up and we get depressed. But let us remember, there is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And it's the kingdom of God, the one who brings us out of the kingdom of darkness into his glorious light. I just want to highlight to you as well in that line, in that verse right there, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom. Notice the line doesn't say for earning a kingdom. It doesn't say for you worked at getting a, or deserving of a. No. God's kingdom isn't earned. Or quite frankly, if we're honest with each other, it's not even deserved. It is freely given to those who call on him. It is a gift. And thank God tonight that as Christians, despite everything that goes on around us, despite the fact that we're uncertain as to how to reopen our churches and how that will look like, despite our own family lives, we feel shaken to the core. And yet, we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It cannot be shaken. Friends, let us recognize that God has built his kingdom on solid ground. All other ground is sinking sand. That's why we can carry on even through these uncertain times. We can even strive as a Christian and as a church. Why? Because of God's great kingdom that isn't shaken. Nothing is outside of God's control. We've even seen that even in these uncertain times that men and women have come to faith in the Lord Jesus. How? Because of the uncertainty of times, churches have got creative. We've gone online. We've been presenting a lot of things on YouTube. We've been sending out tracts and books. And suddenly, people are discovering Jesus. Perhaps they wouldn't have come to our church buildings, but they have gone online. And thank God for technology in that respect, because through that, he's made a way for men and women to know the Lord Jesus. And as I've just been reflecting on these two verses, this old hymn came to mind. We have anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Friends, let us take hold of that. As we feel like we're drowning, we have an anchor that keeps the soul, and it's fastened to the rock of Jesus, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. So let's remember the kingdom that cannot be shaken. But what is the outcome of all this? Well, the third thing I want to suggest to you to close is this. Let us worship him. Verse 28 reads, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You see, as we remember as a Christian, as we look up, we remember who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us at the cross. As we reflect upon those who've already gone before us and how they put their trust in Jesus. As we remember that God's kingdom is ruling and reigning and will forevermore be unshakable. What's the reaction of the Christian? It's to worship. It's to worship the Lord Jesus. As we stand up, as we rise up in our worship, in our sung worship, whether it's gathering together here on Zoom or, God willing, it'll be together physically in the building, or indeed through our own daily lives, we need to pray fervently and expectantly that he will shake up this land again. As I said, I've been reading the post-revival of churches being set up, of people meeting together, of lives being transformed. Truly, Wales was shaken to its core and lives were changed. Let's pray that God would do that again. That as men and women, as we offer to God acceptable worship through our voices and through our own lives, that God would shake up this land again. And that he'd help us to play our part in it as well. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. How will that look like for you this week? How will you worship God this week? Will we retreat to our own selves, or will we live out our lives as if God truly is on the throne, as if he truly is in control, as if his kingdom truly is unshakable? I wonder how that will look like for you as you meet and talk to people, as you talk to your neighbours about the next steps, as you talk to your work colleagues as work and school and things reopen. Let us be those who wear the gospel on their sleeves, that live our lives in worship, not just sung in the car, but lives showing the love of Jesus and the love of the gospel to those who will listen to us. Let's be encouraged tonight. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom, God's kingdom, that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship each and every single day with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And I pray and I trust that as individuals and as a church, that we would do just that. That we'd remember God's kingdom is unshakable. And as we live our lives out for him, that people would see that and in his grace will want to become part of the unshakable kingdom as well.